sitting at the captain's table today.
Look aren't at you. You, got, you ordered
don't
coffee.
Don't you envy me? I wish I... No, she came here for you. Could he have a cappuccino, too?
No.
No, he's
Angelina.
I'm
not
a
car. Hi, get them whatever they need.
Yeah, of course.
Grazie, look at that.
I have espresso.
You're better than what they need.
Yeah. Double or single?
Double, yeah, that's nice. Thank you. What a place to be.
See that you're born an Italian. If you want your life to be great, see that you're born an Italiano and your life will be great.
Hey there, Paisani. Welcome back to another episode of the Italian American Podcast. It is Italian American Heritage Month, which means we are back out on the road. I'm John Viola, coming to you live and uncut, live to tape.
I don't like uncut. You know that.
I know you don't. I know. Well, we still could take out when we say bad stuff. We just,
yeah,
you know.
as long as it's a censor.
It's less correcting of, you know, the
do you know what
formality.
Was that movie? The movie. The
oh, here
movie.
He goes.
What?
With the priest with the bell.
I don't remember. What
come on. It was the big movie, 1989, one picture of the year, foreign film.
Sicilia. Oh, Il Postino?
No, come on.
Life is Beautiful?
No, that was the after. Come on.
Mediterraneo.
Know. No.
I don't know.
They're going to think we're senile now.
Maybe
it
we are.
Best Picture, 89.
Best Picture overall?
Yeah, foreign language film.
A Sicilian movie?
Yeah. Cinema Paradiso.
Oh, shucks. You're right.
Yeah.
That,
you know,
does,
the
that
priest?
Is a senile moment. You're right.
The priest goes and every time he doesn't like something in the movie, he rings the bell and they got to cut it out. He used to go before
yes,
the movie
in the theater,
came out.
Yes,
the
now remember, that's you.
That, I want to be there, like the cassock with the bell.
That's my partner in crime, the Italian American Wikipedia, Mr. Patrick O'Boyle. And the other voice you're hearing today is familiar if you are a viewer of our YouTube series, Greetings from Italian America. You have seen us here with Gina Biancardi, the foundress of the amazing Casa Belvedere here on Staten Island. And we're back today with Gina at Staten Island's Casa Belvedere because, what is it today, Gina? It's the Festa dei Motori. How do you say?
Festa and Motori d'Italia, which is an Italian festival and a luxury car show, Italian luxury car show.
Luxury car show, that's the best
way
to
say it. So it's a festival combined with the car show.
And you guys have had it here for how many years?
12 years.
And it's pretty popular on Staten Island and beyond. I met some people who've come from Brooklyn and Queens
yes,
and Manhattan.
Long Island.
Yeah, a lot of people come through.
Because the Northeast Italian Car Club brings all the cars that are here today, and they really are from all over the Northeast.
What is it? I'm not a car person, but I would imagine out in our audience there's a lot of people who are, because obviously Italian excellence in motors, motorsport, motor design. Thank you. This is nice. I get coffee.
She's
right.
Got,
to,
we got
espresso
table
came
service.
Right to
this
table.
Is nice.
But like, you know, cars are such a big part of Italian life and culture.
Sure.
People just basically bring these are cars individuals own, and
yes.
they're coming here to show them off, basically.
Basically, yeah. And support the cars. So they're all beautiful cars, as you've seen today: Ferrari, Maserati, Lamborghini. There's a couple of Fiats too. Some old time cars. Yeah, and the guys that. I shouldn't say guys, because I think there are a couple female owners of the cars as well. They register prior to the show, and then they showcase their car. And we also have trophy, you know, best classic car, or best this, or best, I don't know, car, so I forget the titles.
Right. Yeah, someone tells me, did you come up with this idea, or somebody else did?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
this is all Gina's idea. This is Gina Wonderland.
That is true.
If you want to know what her brain looks yes. like, that's Casa Belvedere.
That is so true. Yeah. That is. I always say to people, if you come in my office, it's my brain turned inside out.
Yes.
Gina's brain exactly. is turned inside out at Casa Belvedere. Tell us.
24/7, seven, you know, all the time.
How
for
did
13
you,
years.
How did you end up doing this? Because this is a place that I think a lot of people around the country know about. You guys do a great job with programs. But I also think there's some people in the audience who might not have heard of Casa. And beyond
absolutely.
How great the programming is, the story of how you brought it to life, I think, is really important. So tell us how this happened.
It happened as I was bringing my children to school across the street at Notre Dame Academy. And I kept seeing this gorgeous house that looked like an Italian villa in Italy. And it was for sale, for sale, for sale. Then I was going through something dramatic in my personal life. And I said, wow, that place would really make an unbelievable Italian cultural center. And that's been, believe it or not, my dream since I was a young woman and I started to get involved in the Italian-American community. I always wanted to open an Italian cultural center to teach Italian language and film and music.
To consume your time, consume your money.
To consume my whole life.
Aggravate you.
To consume every ounce of blood inside
me. Thank you. Right. Giving and not receiving.
I had no idea what I was getting into.
Correct.
No,
of course not.
No idea.
Right. If you had, you never would have done it.
No. And I think that a lot, you know, you guys could definitely relate to this, Patrick and John, and many other pioneers who have done, you know, worthwhile
things. Are we pioneers?
Yeah, in their life.
Wow, that sounds very
Except we lost our map. We don't know where we're going.
That's like, what was the Oklahoma Trail?
That's Oregon Trail.
Oregon Trail.
We're on the Italian
Trail.
The Italian
Oregon Trail.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reality. If you can foresee the future, would you really do what we're doing?
I don't think you do half the stuff you do, no. I think if I...
And then once you do it, it snowballs, and thankfully it does get bigger and bigger and beyond our control. But then it's part of us. It's part of our DNA. So how do you backtrack?
You can't. You can't. So you saw this beautiful place. It is an Italianate villa.
Right.
It's been here since, what,
1908. It was built in 1908 by the granddaughter of John Roebling.
Wow.
And her husband.
Just tell people who John, for people outside New York, they're not going to know who he is.
Architect of the Brooklyn Bridge. Actually, he invented the suspension cable.
Yeah.
And many bridges around the country were Roebling bridges, or based on that technology anyway.
Amazing guy. I'm actually just listening to his biography now on my audiobooks. And fascinating guy. And I actually... Obviously, I'm on the board of Casa. I knew that, but I kind of forgot it. So it's interesting to think this was his family. And you stare out. It's called Casa Belvedere because the view is incredible. You stare out the back of this amazing edifice, and you see Manhattan and Brooklyn and Staten Island, you know, obviously the bay here, and the Verrazano Narrows Bridge, named after, obviously, the Italian explorer who first set eyes on it from Europe. It is an amazing physical plant, but when you got it,
It was a disaster. It was dilapidated. It was old. It had been abandoned for many years. My girls called it the Adams family because there were things growing everywhere on the outside, on the inside. And it was a disaster. It was terrible.
Well, I want to. We've got somebody else with us now. This is the thing I like about these live shows. People are coming and going. The festival is unbelievably cacophonous around us. I hope you can hear in the background. There's music. There's food. We've been joined by, can I make an announcement? Am I allowed to do
sure,
that on the air?
Sure, sure.
I would call him a major member of the team at Casa until Friday, but now post-Friday I can call him the fiancé of Gina Biancardi, Mr. Jimmy Paone, who is a great friend of ours and a real engine here. So Jimmy's joining us to sit at the table, and you've been instrumental in a big
Everything.
Turnaround of this place
Everything.
Because
yeah.
I see you through all the construction.
Yeah.
This is a huge operation.
Thank you. Thank you for coming down. It has been a monstrous job. I mean, a real big challenge. Gina mentioned when she first purchased the house, there were actually maybe about three families of raccoons that were living in the attic. That's how big the holes were in the roof. It really was a monumentous task. And I tell you, if Gina knew what she was getting her hands
we
in, she never would have.
No,
she
but
never
can I say something
you
from someone who saw the house in those days?
Yeah.
Even in that state, it was stunning.
Yeah. It's it beautiful.
Was.
It's beautiful.
It was absolutely stunning.
Yeah. Yeah.
The top floors, it was
the
closets
maids quarters
were cedar.
Actually on the very, yes.
Yeah, and they were cedar, I guess back then to keep away moths. It was
Bravo,
just,
you remember.
Yeah, I was so impressed because they had like a gentleman's closet where you hung your ties and your suspenders.
Yes,
yeah.
That was so cool.
It was absolutely
the sprinkler,
stunning.
the marble bathroom
well,
with
it
the old-time spa. With
yes.
The,
it was a full-body shower. This gentleman, Mr. Stern, had a full-body shower when most people had outhouses.
That's true, yeah.
So it was amazing. And a funny construction note is that we disassembled the shower, and it was huge slabs of marble that we kept moving from one place to the other. All the construction workers would say, Jimmy, what are we going to do with this marble? I said, I'll find something. We can't throw it away. So it was like moving this big elephant from one side of the room to the next. And now what we did is we actually had a stone yard, cut them, and we used them as the facade of all the fireplaces. So we still have that marble and was something to keep.
That's the ultimate Italian-American. Like, we're all, no matter how far generationally removed we are, we as Italian-Americans are all children of the Depression. And the fact that you saved that marble slab.
Can't
and
throw
cut
it away.
No, you can't throw it away because I have a refrigerator. I bought a house. I mean, I was doing construction similarly when my wife and I were going to stay in Brooklyn. And we've related a lot about the headaches of rebuilding an old place, making sure everything is, you know, to the original design. But we did one in Brooklyn Heights. And we eventually sold it, but I found an old refrigerator in the basement. And it's beautiful. It's from the 50s. And I couldn't throw this thing out. And I had it refurbished. So it's going to open up. When we open the studio in a couple of months, that'll be our refrigerator where we record because it's so. It looks like a Corvette. It's got.
We're an artistic people. We're a people with an aesthetic.
Well,
yes. Right?
Back then, everything was a work of art.
It really was.
It's in our DNA.
It was a design and. And people really took pride in the design of things and their classics. You just can't throw them away.
No, there's nothing like what they built before. And you guys have been renovating, I mean, now.
13 years.
13 years. Now, the whole building almost, as of today, right, we're recording this Italian American Heritage Month 2023. I think everything is open to the public. The top floor is not yet, the third floor. What's left to do?
It's open.
We're almost there.
I mean, we're fine tuning things.
Yeah.
There's light fixtures. There's things, and you know, sometimes you just have to get to a certain point and then feel the room and then finish it off. You know, if there's an antique chandelier that needs to be put instead of something more modern, we try to keep the look and feel of the place throughout. And we took special care in choosing certain things. We have the original sinks that were in the house. I made sure that we saved those. And those are now in the bathrooms of three of the bathrooms that we have here. So, you know, it takes a lot of work, but sometimes you just have to pause and feel the room and finish it.
So when I first met Gina and Jimmy through Pat, right, you were on the board of Casa.
Yes.
How did you two meet? Yeah.
You were on the original board.
Yeah, how did we meet? She stole a parking space from me.
Oh, my God. I remember that.
That's why she's trying to kill you.
I went to an event, I think it was in Manhattan.
Yes.
For Pasquale Maia. It was a Tombo event or one of his Salernitana-based events.
Right.
And what kind of car were you driving?
I don't know.
She had this huge white.
Oh, I think it was Range Rover.
This huge white Range Rover.
Yeah, I had.
Cuts me off and takes a space. Like, I'm not even there. And then this lady, how tall are you?
I don't know, 5'4"? Five, four?
You must have had 18-inch heels. This lady walks out, the heels are taller than the big white obnoxious with the, you know, the total Italian New York cook with the pocketbook. You know, a coat, I don't know if it was fur or whatever it was. You could put a down payment on a house, which she walks
like
in
Victoria
there.
Like Victoria
got it. Yeah, walks right in, cuts me right. I said, who is this woman that had the, I was in an actual rage. And I didn't learn. So I saw the fire and I ran into it.
That's true.
And I start talking to Gina at Pasquale Mayo's event, and the next thing I was on a board.
And back then, I mean, there was so much to do. There was so much
Nobody
to do.
Nobody I know besides Gina would have been crazy enough. This was like an Italian-American kamikaze mission.
Well,
yeah. If you pulled this off, and I say that with the absolute greatest respect because it was, I never ever thought it would be done because Gina was more often than not
crazy.
rowing the boat all on her own. I mean,
yeah.
You can't understand. She went and bought this huge, glorious, but neglected Edwardian mansion with the dream of turning it into an Italian cultural center. And I don't know anybody else who could have pulled it off.
It's not an easy task.
But I saw it. I was in the trenches and watched her in battle. I to this day do not know how she pulled it off because everybody else I know.
A lot of hard work.
It was more than work. It was intrepid because there were so many winds that were blowing against you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I can't say that I didn't want to give up many times.
The most number one, I'm now sitting at this open air extravaganza, beautiful, beautiful grounds with a beautiful view of the Verrazano Bridge in the Bay of New York. But what really makes this event stand out is how classy it is.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Everything about Casa Belvedere is classy. Because we know we're talking about the structure of the building and the beauty of the event, but really at the end of the day, this is an Italian cultural center.
Exactly, and we do all very
But you
nice got to
pay the bills. So to pay the
exactly.
bills, there's a dinner club here, and yes. there's also a catering facility.
Right.
And if you need a catering facility in the New York metro area, you cannot beat this.
No, you can't beat this
for
place.
Party. And I'm not saying this because she's my friend because I was on the board. I'm saying this because it's absolutely true. The food is top-notch. The ambiance is top-notch. It's elegant without being stuffy. It's an absolutely beautiful venue. And that venue, the money made on that venue, is what pays for all the programming.
Yes.
Because one thing I really would love to highlight
yes.
is
no,
that
actually, our members, annual dues, underwrites all our programs.
Sure, but the part of the dues is that they get to be part of the club.
Exactly.
The dinner club.
Casa Belvedere is a hybrid between the Belvedere Club and all the educational programs on the foundation end, which is what we run. But the members are actually of the Belvedere Club are the backbone of all of our programs. Their annual dues helps us meet
support.
Our operating yeah. expenses,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
I mean, all the teachers and all the supplies and all the beautiful programs that we do, it's thanks to their annual dues. And we have really a great group of members. We're up to about 475.
There's a waiting list now.
There's even a waiting list.
Yep. And
so
we're
very grateful.
We can't
to our
do it alone.
Members.
And it's our members that are the financial backbone of what we do here. Although we're open to the public, we have many, many programs that are open to the public. It's the members that enable us to do things financially, and we owe a great gratitude for them.
Yeah, they really deserve it. And this facility's got amazing spots for the membership, too. If you're inclined to come out and become a member, there's a lounge now that's only for certain. I mean, it's not just come out and enjoy the programs. It's come out and be a part of this family.
Right.
And you know,
exactly.
you got to put skin in the game.
And that's what our members are. They're family.
Yeah.
It takes them a half hour to say hello and at least an hour to say goodbye because they all know each other and it's a family.
Yeah.
It really is. But that's our mission and that's what we really love. The Italian language classes and the cooking classes and musica sotto le stelle, cinema sotto le stelle.
Why do you talk about musica sotto le stelle, cinema sotto le stelle?
Oh, we do those all summer long. Like you said, that there's a lot of outdoor grounds, so we...
Because you have a beautiful view, stunning view
right.
of the Bay of New York.
Yes.
And you
Thank
show
you.
Movies
right.
right here on the grounds.
Actually,
and
in
music
the back.
Concerts. And Italian movies.
Italian
language
movies.
Language
with
movies.
The English subtitles. Open to the public. All our educational programs, by the way, are open to the public,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah, and we show them on a huge screen. And the backdrop of that screen is the Narrows Harbor. So you have a stunning view in the back while you're watching a movie. We have
packed.
Concession
They're
stands.
Packed. Every,
you have glass
every time
of
we
wine,
do 160
beer.
People.
It's a, you know, with the weather, it's just spectacular. And it's really chilling. You know, you get chills, you know, because it's so beautiful.
For people who are not from the New York metro area, the interesting thing about Staten Island, and I would say, I highly recommend you reference back to our YouTube video we made. Gina was our guest host and took us around Staten Island about a year or two ago. And this is an island that is the fifth borough of New York City, but in its habits and in its structures, it's completely different than anywhere else in New York, right?
It feels almost like a suburb.
It feels like a suburb, yeah.
But it's 20 minutes away from Lower Manhattan.
And it's a majority of the population still has some
Absolutely.
Italian background here.
Yes, I'd say about 40%.
So they call it Staten Italy because
it's the county with the highest Italian population, I think, in the country.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is, yeah.
It is.
And there's so much to see and do on this island that's Italian culture, but to have sort of a headquarters of it all is, I think, something that, you know, it's almost like when I come here, and I was in Brooklyn for many years, so to come here was pretty easy. Now that we're in the suburbs, it's a little bit of a more of a drive for me. But when you come here, the interesting thing is it's programming that's applicable to everybody, right? It's accessible and it's free. But there's also this sense that this is a community center as much as a cultural center, because if you're an Italian-American on Staten Island, this is the private club for so many of the people here that want a great restaurant, a great place to do events, a place to kind of call home. And it is. It's homey. Obviously, it's in a big, beautiful old mansion. But you're really... You're of the community in that there's so much Italian life here on the island.
Yes.
That it's appropriate
it's
for this
very
to be
well
here.
Received by the community.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, all the educational programs, thankfully, are going very well. We're packed at these events, Musica Sotto le Stelle, Cinema
sure.
Sotto le Stelle. Our cooking classes are always sold out.
We have a huge crowd here today. This is all community-based.
But from near and far
Staten
today,
Island.
Because
yeah.
You get people from Long Island, Brooklyn, because the cars are such
Absolutely.
A big attraction.
Absolutely.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. Mm-hmm. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
This is, to me, like, you know, we've talked about cinema under the stars and opera or music under the stars, concerts. Obviously, people have private events here. The dining facilities are unbelievable. The restaurant's really great. There's a wine bar, Bacco Wine Bar, underground. It's really kind of hip and a little bit different than the upstairs fancy restaurant. You've got language classes. You've got cooking classes. You've got a whole cooking school kitchen.
Cucina con la vita.
That's Cucina con la vita, right?
Yes.
Which is a
we've introduced exercise classes, so we have those in the morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Yoga, yeah. Sound therapy. We're expanding our programs.
What's
now
Italian
that
sound therapy? Yelling?
Well, you know what that is.
Can we work on that?
Oh, my
yelling?
God.
Why don't we have listeners call up and yell? And that's
okay. Yeah.
I can't do it because I fall asleep. You give me 5 minutes and I'm out.
No, but yeah. Patrick's talking about in a typical Italian household.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Sound
what makes
therapy
you feel
was...
Cozy.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, Jimmy.
I think we need therapy because of those.
Yeah,
things.
You know, let's just get
sound
the background
reaction therapy
of our guest today. Jimmy is one of 12. Am I correct?
11.
11.
You have a beautiful family story. Why don't you tell everyone? Your mother's from Naples. Your father's Italian American.
Well, Gina has that. Gina has a more romantic version of my version, but. Shall I do it or you?
It's your dad, right. So I think all it's right. appropriate you tell the
so,
story.
So, believe it or not, my father, who I'm one of 11, was actually studying to become a priest. And he was in Rome, in the Vatican, with his seminarians, and he would travel to Naples to visit his family on the weekends. So he would take the train down, and one weekend he spotted my mom. And he saw her from a distance. You know, Gina has a Cinderella version. She was scrubbing the floor, and she could see across the window. And there's probably some truth to that, but he was smitten with my mother. And doubt started to creep in his mind about his true calling. And so when he went back to the Vatican on that Monday or so, they had a special
audience
with... a priest who was hearing confessions, and he confessed to the priest. He said, "Father, I am not sure of my true calling. I met this woman, and I'm uncertain if the priesthood is my true calling." And the priest told him, "You know, follow your heart. If this is not for you, you are to go to Naples, seek this woman out, ask for her hand in marriage. And I'm sure you will have many children."
Wow.
So my father went back to Naples. He met with my grandparents, my Nonna and Papa, and he said, "I want to marry your daughter." My mother was only 16 years old. And at first they told him, "Please come back in a couple of years. My daughter's 16. And my father said, "I am not leaving Italy without marrying your daughter."
Wow.
So they got married. My father joked around, said it was an American Express wedding because he was there. None of his family was there, but all my mother's family was there, and everything went on the American Express card.
We backtrack just 1 second
yes.
before he went back and married this lovely, beautiful woman named Rosa and had 11 children, as the priest had predicted he would have a very big family. The priest who made this prediction was none other than
Padre Pio.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. This was when the church said, "This guy's getting too much attention. He cannot say Mass anymore. We're only going to let him say confessions." And still, the pilgrimages to Italy and he had masses of people.
Right.
But my father, because he was studying to become a priest, he had a special audience with him, so the seminarians went there and had a confession with him. But
your father was a great man, yeah. And he was very religious.
Ralph Joseph Payon.
I think that, and your mother, of course, thank God she's still with
Rosarita
us. Rosarita Payon.
Subeta
Payon. I think
Payon.
That his religious background you know, I mean, if I can vouch, I'm not actually in your family yet. I mean, soon, maybe.
But maybe. No,
took,
soon.
Well, took you 10 years.
You're on a very good path.
You're on the right
path.
What I wanted to say is your family is wonderful. I've never met such a wonderful, kind, gentle, sweet family. 11 children in all. Your mom and dad raised very, very good children.
Thank you so much.
And I'm proud to be part of your family.
Not for nothing, because you guys, when I first met you, you guys hadn't started dating yet, but a lot of this has turned around since Jimmy came into your life.
Oh,
because he's like a calm sea and a crazy storm. You're crazy. I love you. You're crazy like me,
right.
Like my mother, like him. Jimmy's calm.
Yes.
And not to tell stories about just our personal lives, but, you know, for the audience to understand, first of all, he's made a great difference here and made a great difference for you.
In the brick and mortar building.
And everything.
Yeah.
But now I get it. You're marrying into a very blessed family with Padre Pio's blessing. And it's funny because when we were having our baby, my wife, Nicole, we were going through a lot. It was a complicated pregnancy. A lot of these doctors in the city couldn't care less about really us. I mean, you could just smell it. It was like they were just giving you kind of blow-offs, and it was becoming really difficult. And I just happened to mention to Eugene, and you said, go see my brother-in-law, or future brother-in-law, Dr. Thomas Payone, and he will give you personal family care. And we went, and it was like a Padre Pio blessing. We went from anxiety, and it was really tough. And we left his office, and Nicole was just calm, and then went into labor the next couple days anyway. So we ended up going to her regular doctor where we had our birth plan. But his presence made a big difference, and it has stayed with me forever. And I owe him a lot for that. Every time I see him,
he's a good guy.
It's been unbelievable. So you've got a good calming presence.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
And Gina, before we tell your story, I have to say this: one of the most impressive moments of my life
was when I cut you off.
No, that was one of the more memorable.
Transformative.
That's another instance of I never learn.
Okay.
Because the red lights were flashing and I ran right into the accident. But that being said, whenever you had an event here, and your father, may he rest in peace, because, you know, we're not talking about it. We haven't talked about it on the show. You were a tremendous titan in business in the internet industry.
Yeah. You're talking about pioneer.
Pioneer.
Yeah, really pioneer.
Right? You came from absolutely nothing. You are the absolute epitome of the American immigrant experience, right?
Yes.
All the best things about America is embodied in you. And I used
to thank you.
And whenever you did a presentation, I never looked at you. I always looked at your father, because there was a look on your father's face I can never translate. It was a mix of awe and disbelief. Tremendous pride and a feeling like, how did this happen? Like, almost like a miss. Like, how did, like, it was beyond anything. Your success was beyond anything he could have dreamt. And I always used to look at that, because I know your father, and you all did, you know, working as a coat checker on the whole nine yards. You killed yourselves. Your parents killed themselves working when they came to America. You worked so hard as a kid, and it all paid off. So why don't you tell us about your parents, where they came from, your story, the Gina story. I mean, I know the story well.
You're going to make
me cry. Go ahead. Tell the story, Gina.
I think that kind of sacrifice that I experienced as I was growing up and saw my parents really, really sacrifice. I mean,
tell everybody.
My
dad,
immigrants from Italy, they came here in 1960. They actually got married in Italy in 1960 with the Justice of the Peace. And then my mom's family had just come here. So she came here. He could not come yet, and she had to wait for him for 2 years to come to this country. So they didn't consummate the marriage until they got married in the church here. But the profound impact of watching my father go from working in the TA,
the TA for
the
everybody,
Transit Authority,
right,
all week long. Then on a Thursday he would start his schedule at this huge catering hall in the Bronx called Maestro's Caters. So on a Thursday night, he'd go do a shift in the kitchen at Maestro's Caterers. He actually started as a dishwasher. No shame in that.
No shame
in hard work. And from that, he went to preparing the Viennese tables with the ice sculptures, because he's very creative, my dad. So that was Thursday night. Friday, back to the TA. Friday night, back to the restaurant. Saturday morning, go clean the restaurant. Saturday afternoon shift. Saturday night shift. Sunday morning, go clean the restaurant. Sunday afternoon, go to the shift. Sunday night, how He did that for 30 years.
Yeah.
The strength is just unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And that kind of work ethic is a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Because I experienced that, you know, watching them. And my mother, too. She was a seamstress, and she took care of the kids and the house and all of that. And, of course, in her own right, she also sacrificed so much. And you watch this growing up, and it just, again, it leaves such an impact. So, you know, when I started to think about doing this project, I was saying to myself, why don't the Italians get recognized for all their sacrifices? Why are we always, you know, take last step and not really have a voice in this country?
And
you know, we deserve brick-and-mortar places like Casa Belvedere to pop up all over the country, and I hope that they do, because this is a monument. This is a memorial to our ancestors. This is the epitome of our culture. It's funny because Joe Piscopo was just here, and he kept saying Casa Belvedere is the epitome of the Italian culture. It encapsulates, in his words, everything great about being Italian. He was so impressed with, you know, what we do, including the tomato jarring that he witnessed that day. So when I had this opportunity, you know, again, I was a little crazy going through a chaotic time in my life. And, you know, again, we never know what we're in for when we start things. I said, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to make this an Italian. I'm going to fulfill my dream, and I'm going to memorialize the Italians. For once, we have a place to call our own, a monument. Everything about being Italian is here.
But you know what the thing I love about being here is? And, you know, like we had me, Gina, and Jimmy had breakfast here just to catch up a couple weeks ago. We filmed, if you remember, on our YouTube, our Christmas, 'Twas the Feast of the Fishes poem. That was all filmed here, thanks to Gina and Jimmy, and that was a lot of fun.
That was so much fun.
It was like having Christmas Eve, really.
Yes.
We cooked together. I mean, made it look like cooking, and then we ate together.
Yeah, it was so fun.
It was a lot of fun. And I go watch that fondly. But the thing I like about coming here is it's a monument to who we are. It offers a lot. It's beautiful. You feel a lot of pride. But it's very much alive. A lot of these institutions in the community, you know, if they have active programming, a lot of it's about, you know, Fiorella LaGuardia's labor union, you know, this stuff that's like really kind of lost on people, frankly. Like it's
academically
like,
esoteric.
Esoteric, yeah.
There you go.
But you come here, and there's great programs around academia here. There's really interesting stuff. But there's also tomato jarring, and there's also
bocce games,
bocce,
movie Under the Stars. And
I love the garden, Nono's Garden, and all these things, because that's a huge part of who we are. And I feel like there's a lot of our community that feels like when they, quote-unquote, arrive at success, they have to turn away from that stuff and focus on, like, opera.
Right.
Okay,
yeah, because Casa Belvedere is classy without being snobby.
Yes, that's the beauty of it. And it makes you feel like you're at
that's
home.
That's a good quote. I like that.
It's a reflection on you guys, really. Yeah.
Well, it's very much, you know, Gina is very much a woman of the people. I mean, you're the captain of this ship, and you lived on both sides of the...
I mean, I can't say I did it totally alone. You know, I have some very...
Sure, but
I
was
support
there.
From a few members. John's a board member.
But hold
Michael
on a
Pucciarelli,
minute. I was there.
You.
I saw how you suffered.
Yes.
I would have walked away. And I'm a stubborn person, but I don't know. All the accolades you get from here are not enough because... It was not easy.
I don't need accolades. I always say I don't need accolades. You know, people ask me to be honored at this event and that event, which is very nice. I humbly always say no because I don't need the accolades. I don't want to be, you know, in the limelight and the center of attention. I don't need the red carpet. All I need is support.
Yeah.
All I need is support for Casa Belvedere. That's all.
There were times, I wasn't there for the beginning, Pat, but... Since I joined, I would say Gina may have wanted to throw in the towel three times. But at that point,
you get to a point
of no return.
Yeah.
The time and love and hard work that you invest in a place like this, you don't want to lose it. And I would convince her, I said, babe, you got to push through this. You got to go. You got to go.
I just
you got to do
one
it.
One of those meltdowns the other day.
Oh, no, but you were not. But the drive that this woman has is just unbelievable. Yesterday in the pouring rain, she's like, you know, we got to do it. We can't cancel. We got to do it. And there
the
I am,
vendors.
The
I
rain and the vendors and this. And we had to go through all the motions, and it was very disappointing. You know, just, you know, it just wasn't our day. But today we're doing double what we would have done normally. Everyone came out. Yeah. And it's just a glorious, beautiful day now.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I just want to say something because I was here from day one. The reason why I'm throwing all these hosannas on Gina is besides she's my friend, and she actually does deserve it, is this institution should be an inspiration to everyone. Because, you know, it was a money pit, it was a time pit, but Gina did not give up.
Yeah.
And all her hard work paid off because when it took off like a rocket. And there's people all over the United States with Italian-American projects. You're the Lone Ranger. Everyone
says
you're crazy.
I'd say it just took off a couple of years ago.
Sure, but it took lots of years. So I'm saying there's people out there. There's little Ginas. There's young Ginas. There's Ginas all around America.
Right.
And my message to them is that look at Gina Biancardi, because Gina pulled it off.
Yeah.
And when you feel alone and everyone says, why are you doing this? And you put so much personal money in and it's never going to work. And people criticize everything you do. And why didn't you do this? Or someone goes to your event and you didn't recognize them, and they get annoyed and they don't come back and they get off your board. There's a bazillion headaches in the Italian-American world, but perseverance pays off. And Gina is the emblem of that. And that's what I want to say to people. There's people out there listening. If you want to, what is that movie, the baseball movie, Build It and They Will Come?
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams. Casa Belvedere is the Italian-American Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
This is what this is.
You know, I came here today. We were setting up, right? And, you know, it's a boisterous crowd. There's a lot going on. And I asked Jimmy if we could find a place a little bit off to the side. And I'm setting up, and a gentleman comes over, and he sees our little sign. And he looks at me, and he, like, looks back again, and he says, are you from the podcast? Yes, you guys do the Italian-American Future Leaders. I said, yes. He said, I see what you're doing online. I'm so proud of what you're doing. What a wonderful initiative. I'd never met him. And then I said to him, where are you from? He said, I'm from Sicily. I live in Brooklyn 15 years. I said, are you a member of Casa Belvedere? He said, no, I just saw it online and decided to bring my kids here because I wanted them to have access to Italian culture. This seemed like a great event.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, and I thought to myself, like, as we're talking about why you continue to do this stuff when it's hard, the idea that here's a guy who had seen what we do, had seen what you're doing here, decided to come, was engaged and excited about both. And, you know, it's not like this is just a random gentleman who found this stuff, but it means something to him. It meant enough to get him over here and to participate and to come out and say hello. And, you know, you look at this crowd here today, and like Jimmy said, yesterday it rained. So people who were disappointed that they couldn't come yesterday clearly made the decision to come today. It's doubly packed to what it would normally be. And you've got thousands of people out here. And when you're frustrated, it's these moments
that you
that you go, okay,
right.
This meant a lot to somebody to come out and share with their kids. And we gave them something to pass
today
on
to their
kids.
Today is magical.
It is, yeah.
Today is magical. When I look around and I see how everyone's enjoying it, again, I don't need anyone to come up to me and thank me and all of that. It's the feeling that I have, the gratification of just looking around and seeing everyone having a great time.
Gina, let me ask you about three programs here. First one, Nono's Garden.
That is also a national, should be a national monument, right? I mean,
yeah.
We are so much about the Italian garden. So much of our culture is based on, you know, having a garden in your backyard and growing tomatoes and eggplant and peppers and figs.
Remember the first day that we started Nono's Garden? Gina's there. I took a picture of her planting some tomatoes and things like that. And it was a very simple strip of garden. And we said, again, one of those things that we said, we got to continue this tradition. We got to do it. And one day I said, let's do it. We got the topsoil. We got this and that. And Gina and I were there basically planting tomato plants and pepper plants.
But that was the only time I did it.
That was the beginning.
Then all the volunteers took over, which is wonderful.
That's my point. I mean, it's a development. And then we get people with interest. We put an email out or something, social media, and people start coming because I truly feel if we lose two generations, if you go through two generations and that tradition is lost, it's gone forever.
Sure. That's
so
a real
we're
statistic.
Trying to capture...
That's a real, you know,
is it really?
They did a study. It was with religion. And if a family is out of a religion for three generations, it's very hard to bring back.
Yeah.
Sure.
Even a culture. If a culture is out of a religion for three generations, like they've done studies on that, and your instincts are very correct on that.
Yeah, yeah.
The research backs it up.
It's things that we love to tap into people's traditions and memories. I mean, that's where you get
and
to the heart
alive.
Of people.
Yeah. You have to
and
keep it alive.
The jarring. I never jarred tomatoes. My family never jarred tomatoes, but it was something that I heard of, and people would say and would light up when they describe it. There's nothing like it. The family comes together, you sit down, and it kind of reminds me of Christmas Eve because that's a tradition we always have. But I never felt so warm and loved in during Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
But the way people describe jarring tomatoes, they describe that feeling I had the same as Christmas Eve. So I wanted to experience that. And I said, we're going to do it. 1 year passes, 2 years pass.
Patrick's the one who's
I think it was an instigation from me.
Yeah. I mean, thinking about it and discussing it is one thing. Actually doing it and getting
everybody
we
had
two
time.
Beautiful families, the D'Amato family and the Romeo family. And, of course, they had two different methods, so it was a little tense at times.
Two Italian families with two rival recipes,
you know,
yes. Both of which are the correct one and the best.
Yes.
And each one was looking over each other's shoulders. But then they all came together and said, oh, that's the way you do it? That's interesting. And in the end, we had, you know, 300 wonderful jars of tomato sauce. We had a great time. We all sat down in the end, and we had a beautiful pasta dinner made with fresh tomato sauce. And
wine.
I felt,
and they were here
I had that feeling.
Yeah.
I had the feeling that I was at my Christmas Eve dinner, and we were just, I mean, there was so much love and camaraderie. We really had a great time. And, you know, that was so successful. I'd love to make some sausage, which I've never done before.
So I got the sausage king.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Ralph Vitale. He was a master butcher in Italy.
Let's bring him here.
From a family of master.
Let's bring him here.
These Bizons with me.
Let's bring him here.
Yes, if you... Oh, gee.
We have the facility. I would love to do it. And again...
I'll bring him here for dinner one night. You guys can talk.
Absolutely.
Because he knows all the...
But you got to make him bring one of his specialty recipes. He makes a special... It's under Mangese sauce.
Chef a lot.
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievably good. It is October, and that means it's Italian-American Heritage Month. And this year, why not connect to Italy with the Mediaset Italia subscription? Mediaset Italia is the channel that combines the best from top Italian channels Canale 5, Italia 1, and Rete 4, so you don't miss the latest in TV from Italy. This October, Mediaset has familiar favorites and new series, including the new crime drama Maria Corleone, airing Fridays at 8:35 p.m. Eastern, brand new current affairs program E Sempre Carta Bianca with Bianca Berlinger, and new seasons of popular favorites Caduto Libera, Quarto Grado, and Pomeriggio Cinque. There's always something new on Mediaset Italia, so call your local television provider today.
Now, Gina, I'm going to ask you another program.
And I got to ask you guys something.
Are you still, have you done, because I know COVID put a lot of things on ice, the fig tree exchange? I thought that was absolutely brilliant.
Well, we have fig trees that certain families
used to
have
be a
donated.
Swap. There used to be a swap here.
Yes, but no, we don't. But we do the burial every year, but we don't do the swap anymore.
That's something we got to bring back. Can you tell everybody what the swap was? It used to be a big deal before COVID.
It was
fig lovers, and you know you have these groups of people that have these special interests, and there's a lot of various fig trees, and it was just one day that they designated to come together, and people would bring recipes and
cuttings from their trees,
right?
Exactly.
I got a white, I got a brown,
yeah.
I got a
right.
black,
yeah.
I have a special
exactly.
one.
Swapping
exactly.
the branches.
It was
yes.
absolutely
it's like
fantastic.
The New York Stock Exchange for figs,
yeah.
basically.
And, you hear all these stories about how my great grandfather brought the trimming in his suitcase, and
yes.
and we have a gentleman here, a family, the Romeo family. They have this special pepper. A hot pepper that someone great-great-great-grandfather brought. And the beauty of these things is they live forever.
Yeah.
You dry them out, the seeds, and they actually give them away as gifts to other family members. And you could just imagine how many plants have propagated throughout the country. And the same thing with the figs. You know, once your fig
that
is once your fig tree is grown, you can do a cutting and you can, again, give it to more people. And that's the beauty with these garden things where...
We did an episode on heirloom plants with an incredible expert in this. He's an Italian-American from Boston. And I got inspired and started, like, collecting these same heirloom varietals because, first of all, it's very important for the environment because we've lost about 90% of the variety since World War II.
Sure.
But secondly, like Mary Minetti says at the Italian Garden Project, a lot of these, like you mentioned, came over with one immigrant family. You can trace them. They may be the only example of that variety in the world. And here they are in America through this one family with very unique seeds. And that seed saving, that exchange, I've been doing it now for a couple of months. I had a bit of a disaster in my house. But it's amazing what you can get. And I have a project that is really on my radar as of last week because Pat and some of our friends went. Did you guys go to the event at Gracie Mansion? No.
The other day?
You didn't go, right?
No.
He went. And our friend,
I was supposed to go.
Yeah, I skipped. Well,
of course, I was working.
Yeah, well, you got this coming up. Our friend Eric took pictures in the yard of Gracie Mansion and posted them with Fiorello LaGuardia's fig tree. And
how cool.
It's great.
And then is one left of what used to be like a dozen. He was telling me all about it. LaGuardia planted them in Gracie Mansion. So there's one left, and I thought to myself, we have to work with the city to get cuttings of those.
Sure.
For Italian institutions like this to have, you know, 100 years from now, a descendant of LaGuardia's fig. That's amazing. And the history you can pass on with this stuff, the fact that you guys do it here, and the fact that a lot of families who maybe they don't jar tomatoes anymore like they never did or, you know, they've heard about it, but it's 2023 and it's a different iteration of our community. The fact that you can come here and not only learn about opera or do an event, but do that kind of stuff.
Right.
With a different version of family.
You know what a Sicilian student of mine said that blew my mind? We were talking about this stuff. A Sicilian-American, his parents were from Sicily. He said, like, the nice thing about stuff now is years ago you had to do this stuff.
Yeah.
Now you can choose to do it.
Yeah.
So years ago, all that heavy farm work, it was that or starvation.
Right.
But today you can go to the supermarket and buy everything. So the pressure's off that if I don't plant such and such, we're going to starve this winter. So, you know, really, these things have become hobbies in the best sense of the word.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and it's...
They want to do it.
Yeah,
people
we want to
do
it.
And it helps them connect to their culture.
Yeah.
When they're making sauce and, you know, even pizza. You know, pizza, obviously you could buy a pie for whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever it is now.
That's going up now.
But
yeah.
People love to do brick oven pizza. You know, make homemade pizza, homemade everything, which homemade wine we're going to do in a couple of years. We found my dad's wine presser and all
that's
his
awesome
equipment.
Why so a couple? What are you waiting a couple of years for?
Next year.
He's always that's the greatest inspiration.
It's right now.
It's
not the season. You're in October.
Oh, it's now.
Yeah, Mo.
Okay, come
that's
next
a
week.
Past,
let's do it.
Weeks.
Yeah. No, it's not. No, it's not. You can pull it off till like another week.
But
or
you know what, Pat? We need one of like your friend that
you know
does the sausage.
Yeah, you need an
expert. We need an expert to come
in. I would ask my dad every year to. Of course, we did it with him.
Yeah.
For example, our job was my sister and I was always to take the grapes off because there was like certain grapes that you had to boil, and then of course our fingers got all full of like grape color.
Grape juice.
And all the Mitigans in school would make fun of us for days because it really wouldn't go away for
days. Yeah, of course, yeah.
Days and days. So I would say to my dad, Dad, please show me every step of the way. And he'd say, but this isn't the kind of thing that you could just learn just like that.
No.
He said, this is a skill. This is something that I watched I did with my father for years and years and years.
Yeah.
I can't just say, okay, now it's time to stir the wine that, you know, in the barrel that's fermenting. I have to just know when the time is.
You smell it.
You see, yeah. He had that skill. So, unfortunately, I never really learned. I watched him do it, but I never really learned. So, we would need an expert
I got all that stuff.
He's got experts in everything.
I got like a... I know
we
someone...
Need them. Bring them.
I know someone who passed away, and they have like 50 Demijohns in the family unused.
Okay.
In storage.
We have all my grandfather's stuff. We never got rid of it. We used to do it with my grandfather every year until he got really, really sick.
Yeah, how come you guys don't use it?
All right, so let's start... Let's build a building in the back and put all these.
We don't have to make it that.
This is why I love Gina.
Now we're gonna build a building. Simple. All right, John, get the checkbook out. We're gonna build a building.
Place to close.
We're gonna have it. Hold on, Pat.
Pat comes out with an idea.
We cannot. Yeah.
And Gina goes, okay, now we're gonna do, and then it becomes a professional version.
Yes.
And then we're all chasing our tails, but we can't.
Think about that. If you had like all of the old equipment of making wine, jarring tomatoes.
Let's start with our sausage.
Okay. Sausage first. All right.
Making the sausage. You need space.
You need space.
All right, you got to talk to me. If I bring out my butcher, we're going to have dinner here. We'll cut the deal.
We'll make it work.
Vineyard.
No matter what we got to do.
How about a
vineyard? I'll put a tent in the back.
You have to do a vineyard.
Sausage, hang it. But do you have a cellar part here?
A what?
Does the outhouse have a cellar? Not the outhouse. Not Bacow's outhouse. The guest home. The carriage house.
Carriage house is a cellar. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we can do it.
I'm going to bring him out. But hold on, before we close.
Oh, because you have to hang them.
Yeah.
The most important thing about Casa is the thing that we did not discuss, and I think that should be our closing story. Every Christmas, something very beautiful happens.
Yes, that's true.
And I want you to tell everybody about the, because you know I'm a Presepio guy.
Yes, the
Presepio de la Pacha, the whole story, connection with 9/11.
Yes.
The three kings and how it got here.
So post 9/11, obviously an outpour of sympathy for what happened and all the tragedy. And Staten Island in particular lost many people because they were first responders.
Yeah.
Very close to.
Staten Island is full of civil servants, police officers, firemen, ambulance. I mean, it's a good working class community.
Yeah.
So this beautiful 150-piece handmade artisanal crèche, Presepio, was donated to the FDNY from Italy.
Was it a city of Naples?
Naples.
I believe.
Naples. It was a special street.
It was sent to the city of New York.
And it was sent to the FDNY in particular.
For the first Christmas
after
9/11.
For the first Christmas, I believe that it was on display in Manhattan, at a church in Manhattan.
St. Michael's in Manhattan.
There you go. After that, unfortunately, they had no place to put it, and they had no place to display it. So I don't know how I got connected to the FDNY officer or chief or whoever he was, and he said, this would be a great place to put the Presepio. So ever since then, and I think we're 12 years on that too, we're the custodians for the FDNY, but this magnificent display just brings you to the tears because I think it rivals the Metropolitan Museum of Art, the one that they have there. Every piece handmade, and then every Presepio tells a story. This tells the story of 9/11.
Yeah.
It tells the story of 9/11 with the three kings and what they're carrying too.
And the three kings are carrying three fire helmets.
Yes.
And it has 09/11/01.
Right. Yeah. So it brings you to tears. And it's also so realistic because one side of the display is, you know, regular poor people, and you could see how they're, you know, farming or the proletariat and the bourgeoisie. You could tell how
just the details of the costumes or the clothing is just remarkable from the common folk to the royalty. The royalty has all these beaded jewels.
So it
on
hasn't
their
changed. You
outfits.
Still have the
and the little baby Jesus in the middle of it.
In the middle, right. The trying middle. To say, to bring everybody united, right?
And
to bring,
I
hope everybody out there, as we wrap up, this Christmas time, if they haven't been to Casa yet, definitely comes out here
to see it's an outdoor display. Right.
Yeah.
We used to have it indoors, but we felt as though, you know, when the building's closed, people couldn't see it. So we built this huge display cabinet, and we have it on the front porch every
year.
And
this guy puts it together.
Yeah, he does.
Mounts
it,
and then takes
it
down.
It's a week.
It's not easy.
It takes a week to set everything up.
Yeah.
But it's so beautiful. So, yes, we invite the public every year. We put it out right after Thanksgiving, and it stays until January 6th.
That's the time, the epiphany. Also my wife's birthday. It's perfect
time
to, you know, wrap up the Christmas season in the traditional way. It's just great to come out here, and no matter how far you got to come,
any place like this anywhere in the United States, just curious, are there other, you've traveled the United
States.
There's
only one God, and there's only one Gina Bianco.
Oh, stop.
And there is definitely only one God.
No, I mean like brick and mortar.
It's unique. I mean, Staten Island is unique, Staten Italy. I don't know if you could pull this off anywhere else. Even in New Jersey, I think it would be hard because New Jersey is spread out. There's many kingdoms. the fact that Staten Island is an island helps concentrate. So I think that this is a very... I mean, I don't know, John. I don't want to cut you off. I don't think there's anywhere exactly like this.
No, I mean, there's brick-and-mortar stuff out there in the community, but I think the difference here is because this is a home, you know, it's a home in its purpose, right, its original purpose, but it's a massive mansion with a lot of opportunity to do stuff, and it's isolated on its own piece of property. You have room. You have the views. It's in this great hotbed of Italian culture. Yeah, I mean, there's brick-and-mortar stuff out there, but the fact that this feels at its essence like a house for the community, like a home that you can feel cozy in and comfortable in. And, you know, if you are fans of, what was the show, Mrs. Maisel, on Amazon, you've seen Casa. It doubled as the house of whose family?
Rose's
the mother's family.
Parents.
The mother's parents. In,
or
in,
the
in,
family.
Her homestead.
Her homestead in Texas. That's right. Their wealthy oil family. But they filmed here, and when they left some of the decor. It's really interesting. So you can actually come see, if you're a fan of the show, the interior decor. But one of the things I've noticed that did was it gave the inside this sense of, like, you walked into someone has lived here, right? Like, before, it was being rebuilt
but
and renovated.
But at a different time period.
Yeah, different time period.
Just, they had experts that studied, you know, patterns of wallpaper and material and what would have been back in that day. And
they brought
and
it back
they were
to
just,
that
It was just an amazing. I mean, there must have been 200 people here working on the set. And the history and just the study and making sure everything is just so right. And the backdrop was our house, our Casa Belvedere. And it was really
you
beautiful.
You see Rose driving up to Casa Belvedere, so it's clearly Casa Belvedere.
It's wild. I watched it, and like you know, they digitized the background in Texas.
Yeah. Yes.
So you don't see the bridge, you don't see the views.
You see oil, oil rigs
really wild.
Or whatever they're called.
Yeah, but they did a good
they
job.
They did the big screens with the oil.
They make it feel like a house, and so it is obviously a house, and it still
feels
homey.
Well, that's what we always, sorry for interrupting, the biggest compliment that we receive here over and over and over again is it's their home away from home. We just simply call it Casa, which means
that's
home.
True. Everybody calls it Casa.
Casa.
Yeah.
I'm it's going a good to point. Casa. Next week, you meet me at Casa. Let's have a drink at Casa. That is who we are. Home.
Yeah. That says it really well. I mean, I'm sure when you bought this place and donated it to this nonprofit that you created, the idea that you thought would be emphasized was the Belvedere, this beautiful view, and it is amazing. But the thing that has come after all these years is Casa. That's the phrase, that's the emphasis, and that's what it feels like. It feels like the house. So if you are on Staten Island and you haven't heard of Casa, which is a long shot, definitely worth coming out and thinking about membership. We are going to link in our show notes all about Casa and the website and how you can get involved. And yeah, sure. I mean, we
and
we highly
I really
it.
Am so happy that you're here today.
Yeah, me too. It's
really,
always good to
really
come
happy.
Back. Yeah, we got to figure out our Christmas video for this year. That's my next challenge. I was talking to Joe about it. So we'll last year we had to stop last minute because I couldn't get it done. But we'll do a repeat because that was a great video. We got like 60,000.
Yeah,
it went really viral.
Yes,
it was a lot of
people
fun.
People loved that.
It was a lot
everybody
of fun.
Played
put
their
people
part.
Loved it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. That was I'm very proud of what we did there. So this
let's
is
do it early this year.
Yes, absolutely. We
did
like
we do it last year like December 23rd.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we were.
You know, I'm a last minute.
I'll tell you,
guy.
So many of our members they loved it.
It's wonderful. Yeah. It makes it.
You know what we should do this year? Building the Proscenio.
Yeah, that's true. We
oh, my goodness. That would be
I could
great.
Use some help.
That's good. Well, if you want to volunteer for your Proscenio.
I got to draft it. Hold on. I want to film.
Yeah, I'm saying we're going to need bodies to help, too. It's a lot of work, that Proscenio.
You can't talk the talk. You got to walk the walk.
You got to build, baby. Come and build. Bring your tools. Help Jimmy set up this amazing Proscenio and just come
out.
And
the temperature is pretty balmy. You know?
Yeah.
After Thanksgiving, the taking down is rough.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Sometimes it's bitter
Gina,
cold.
What are we going to eat that night if we come out here?
Well, for you, definitely something with pignon.
Two for two.
One day on the unedited podcast, we will air the near-death experience Pat had twice on pignolis.
Blue Walter. But you know, that being said, I almost died here twice. From the pine nuts. The veal, the fried veal is delicious.
Oh, my God. And the pork chop.
I'm risking my life again. The pine nuts, because that pork was that good.
Yes. Yeah. The restaurateurs here. Massimo, Ted, and Michael, Just want to give them a little plug.
They
are
it,
outstanding.
Yep.
They're the best food and beverage providers I've ever experienced.
Yeah. So we're going to be here for the Presepio, mounting the Presepio.
Sounds great.
And then we're going to have dinner.
Yep.
And then we're going to go home and go to bed.
God spares you walk out, you know, third time might be a charm.
If we're at my grandma's, say, yeah, if we're alive.
Somebody on this board's got a hit on you.
No comment.
Well,
I
hope everybody gets a chance.
Powdered pignoli nuts in his espresso. Right.
They're going to be in the air ducts.
Wouldn't that be a way to go, like a Roman Caesar, like assassinated? If that happens, bury me in a toga.
With pine nuts, only you. You have the ultimate Italian allergy, too.
That's true.
Italian. It wasn't a macadamia. It's an Italian staple.
Why do people listen? You know, we've been all over the map today.
That's good. That's fun. That's what I think people like.
Do people like that?
Now, before we go all the way over the map, by the way, we're going to cut to a little interview you did with a new sponsor that you brought on.
And, yes, correct.
You're going to sing the high hosannas of a great company, but everybody's going to hear about a product that you actually use.
This is why I'm doing this. A lot of traditions died out because they were very hard to do. They were time consuming, and coming to a small American tenement kitchen, it just wasn't practical to do. And one of those things was bread making.
Ooh.
And the Anchor's Room bread machine that I'm touting, you can make bread at home very, very easily.
Now, I just want to say for the audience, this is about Pat's real dedication to reviving family traditions, and I've never heard him endorse something that he does not fully believe in. So just stay with us for a moment. I want you to hear about this amazing machine and how you can, thanks to your
bring back. If you get this machine, you can very easily make bread every single week. The old sourdough starter Italian bread that your great-great-grandparents made, you can easily do it every week with no headache, no trouble, and it's a cinch. And I want to see everybody making bread. And little by little, we're going to bring all these traditions back.
All right, let's let the audience hear your interview with the team behind this amazing machine.
Hello, everyone. I have the distinct pleasure today to talk to you about a project, a mission that I am very much in love with. And that mission is the Anchor's Room Mixer. Now, I have Carly Reed on with me today. Carly, did I say that right?
You did.
Yes. Now, is this a commercial? Absolutely. But this is a commercial with a mission. I am madly in love with this machine. This machine is a game changer for me. And I'm going to tell you why I'm so in love with it. I had a stand mixer at home from another company that's all over the place. And that stand mixer just can't get the job done. And if you have it, you know what I'm talking about. It can't knead bread. It can do a cake batter at best. The Anchor's Room is a tank. I can make in that Anchor's Room mixer. So if I take my sourdough starter, I put water, I put salt, I blend it, I throw it in the Anchor's Room, I throw in sifted flour, and that machine goes for 15 minutes. It can mix semolina flour. It can mix any kind of flour I have thrown in there. All my bread at Easter, I made with this Anchor's Room mixer. It is a game changer because it makes homemade bread very, very, very easy. It comes out like the most perfectly kneaded bread. You let it rise, you put it in the oven, and it is done. The beauty of this mixer, the absolute beauty is, it allows you stuff you thought you could never, ever do because of time constraints. So you had to put a whole day aside for it. You can come home from work and mix your bread. You can come home and make your biscuits. Making homemade bread, making homemade sourdough bread, the bread your great-grandmother made, is a pleasure with this machine. It's expensive. It is not a cheap machine. But it is a bazillion times better than any other mixer that's out there. I have Carly on here. Carly Reed, you are a member of the family that owns Pleasant Hill. Am I correct?
I am, yes.
I can sell you on how phenomenally well this machine works, the Lamborghini of mixers. But Carly has the insight on the mechanics of why it works. And she also, because we're partnering with her as a sponsor, she can tell you why you should buy it off of Pleasant Hill Grain. So with that, Carly, I'm turning the microphone over to you.
Thank you, Pat. It's an honor to be here and talking with you. Thank you for having me on. Our company has been in business for 25 years, and in that time, we've maintained a reputation for high-quality product offerings and excellence in customer service. So when you buy from us, we are able to walk you through the whole process of what to expect from the quality product you're ordering and how to use it and any questions you have once you have the product in hand. And with the Anker Shrimp, what we hear all the time from people is, like you said, Pat, the ink is a tank. And people continually tell us, I should have bought this earlier. And it is an investment into your family, into your health, into your well-being on a day-to-day basis. And when you think about it, since it's a belt-driven machine, that means that it will last decades and decades.
So now you heard from Carly. If you really want to preserve the culture of beshkut making at home, cookie making at home, pasta making at home, bread making at home, pizza making at home, this machine is worth every nickel. If you put a little bit aside every month, believe me, when you buy this, you will say it was worth every penny. So visit Carly, visit Pleasant Hill Grains. If you're not happy with the mixer, I will eat the mixer publicly. Can I do that?
You can try.
Why am I offering that? Because I know it's not going to happen. No one will refuse this machine. No one will send it back. And with that, I'm done.
For anyone who wants to learn more about the machine or get in touch with us directly, you can visit pleasanthillgrain.com.
So now you know, make sure to go out. Anker's Room is the way for you to go. Pat really does stand behind it. And you know, at this wonderful institution in Casa Belvedere, maybe that's one of the next things we bring back is bread making. And you've got
I love making. You know I love making.
You're an expert. You are obsessed.
Oh, my God. You bring back the 30 pounds I lost.
You lost 30 pounds?
I lost 30 pounds, well, my heaviest or whatever.
But made room for good calories.
Oh, my God.
It's like cleaning out. You get rid of the old clothes.
If I had fresh bread every day,
if you eat the old bread with sourdough starter and the heritage grain, you're not going to get fat.
How old's your sourdough starter?
I really think it's about a couple thousand years old.
That's amazing.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, correct.
Wow.
That's a whole other episode.
Amazing. That is a whole other episode.
But in Italy, that's very common because you have to understand it. If you've been making bread in a town and everybody passes the yeast around,
right,
and you're a town with, where Spartacus used to hang out. You know, it's very easy. Yeah. I mean, in Italy, 2,000 years is like last week.
Yeah.
There was a place in San Francisco that just closed. Their sourdough was from like 17 something, and they just continually take from it every morning. It's pretty impressive.
I guarantee. I think it's like the seeds that we were talking about with the pepper.
Yeah.
You know, as long as we keep these things going, you know, they'll stay alive. Yeah. We just have to recognize we need to push this and bring it to the next generation. We really do.
And it makes for a healthier life. Just as it makes for a better.
Absolutely.
But between the doing and the eating of quality, it makes for a healthier life. So this is a great place for a healthy life. It's a great place to reattach to your heritage. We love you guys. Thank you guys for having us here.
Thank you.
And let's go enjoy this wonderful weekend. The
porchetta was excellent.
I can't wait
That's what I'm going to have. I haven't eaten. You ate first. I'm going to eat last. So we hope you guys have enjoyed this. We highly encourage. Check out our show notes. You'll learn all you can about Casa Belvedere. And come out and meet Gina and Jimmy because it's a wonderful
place. And all our members
place.
are fantastic. Actually, our members are the backbone of all our programs.
Yes, you got great membership. I think everybody out there would be wise to become a part of it because you're coming to the house, and there's nothing like that, and this really is it. So thank you guys again for having us. Come out to the house. Thanks for listening. Happy Italian American Month, and we'll see you next week.
See that you're born in